make sure that as we go through this, and Jesus preached this in one message. Don't you wish I would? But I couldn't fit this all in. How many hours did it take him to preach this? And so what I want us to understand is I want us to always come back to the big picture of this. Let's first read our passage. We're going to focus on verses 23 through 26 of Matthew chapter 5. I want us to read verse 21 and 22. Jesus would have had that kind of together, and you'll see why it's together. So, but I didn't have enough time last week to do it together. Didn't plan on it either. But let's read beginning at verse 21. In fact, let's read verse 20, because he then goes into these different levels of sin because of verse 20. Look, read verse 20. He says, "For I say unto you," verse 20, "that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 21, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Verse 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Title of the message this morning, just simply, Reconciliation, Making Things Right. Just a quick review of last week. Last week, if we're honest, it's daunting. What Jesus is doing is he's taking the law and putting it on steroids. He's telling them, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to heaven. That's what he's saying. That was a shock to the Jews. It would be saying that the religious people that you respect, they're not going to heaven because they're religious. They knew there was something, but they said, of course the scribes and Pharisees are going to heaven. And Jesus said, your righteousness had better exceed theirs. Then he goes on to really overwhelm us with what does righteousness look like. And in part, it could be depressing. And that was, I think, one of his purposes, because look at the end of Matthew 5. I just want to remind you of this. He does set the bar high when he says in verse 48, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Jesus is laying out for them what true righteousness is. And it's something that none of us can accomplish. And that is part of his purpose, because we all need to get to that point that we understand that my goodness, or what's another word for that? My righteousness will never merit or earn heaven. But at the same time, I don't want us as believers to discount this. Remember, I say this all the time. Christianity is not about rules. It's about one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our lives, as we want to honor Christ, our lives should be about loving Jesus, honoring Jesus, living for Jesus in every aspect of our life. That's really what matters. So when Jesus gives this, he is making it clear, you can't do this on your own. But he also, the things he deals with here are things that I think I've excused. So remember last week, we just talked about three things. And in verse 21 and 22, he said, you know, thou shalt not kill. But then he takes murder and he takes it to the heart. He says, if you have hate toward your brother, you're guilty of murder of the heart. He then says, you shouldn't have anger without a cause. You may not agree with me, but I think the Bible's clear. It says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It says to cease from all anger, Psalm 78. It says that we ought to put away all anger, wrath, malice. We ought to put it all away. I believe our wrath always results in sin. And so he likens that as well. There's just no place for anger. And then if we said, okay, I've never hated, and I've never been angry. Then he deals with the tongue. And he says, if you ever say to anybody, Raca, and so you're like, I've never done that. Well, that's because you don't speak Hebrew. And so, but what it is, the word Raca means that you've spoken to people as though they're worthless, they're useless. Remember, there was also this implication with the word Raca that you've associated them with a donkey. I'll tell you a habit that I had gotten into. It's embarrassing, but sometimes I get too transparent. But when I learned what Raca meant, it was like, oh, wow, I'm actually violating this in the most specific. I would get in this habit. This is terrible. So I know you should have asked for more background checks on me. But someone would, someone created in the image of God, I got to remember that, would do something foolish while they're driving, and this is what I say. I'd say, Jack! And I wouldn't say anything else. I got in this habit, some of you would know, well, what follows, it would be the description of a donkey. And when I realized that Raca, I said, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm attributing somebody to an animal. It's disgraceful to God. I already knew, if you were in my car, I wouldn't, somebody pull him, it wouldn't be, what are you doing, Jack? They'd be like, how did you know his name? Well, and so, it's wrong. I kind of knew that, but it just, I don't know why. You know what? Sometimes sin, there's pleasure in it. And then God calls me out on it. God calls me out on it so specifically, I'm intimidated by that. And what God's whole purpose is, and he says, if you say to somebody, thou fool, right, that you are just telling them they're worthless, useless, there's no value in them, what you've done is you've insulted God, and I've insulted God. I do it all the time. We might say, idiot, right? We might say, the crazy people on the road, and I know you weren't, so Will, I expect you to come forward today and repent, but no, it's just, we do that all the time, don't we? We do. And I will tell you, it's been going through my mind. I love the bar that other people set. I really highlighted last week that every single person is a creation of God. When we insult them, we insult God. You can't imagine how many times this week I go, whoa, thou that art created in the image of God, you should learn how to drive. And it has gone through my mind this week, and I'm enjoying that. But other people raise the bar higher. Not only are they created in the image of God, oh, thou that Jesus died for. Oh, thou that Jesus loves, I need to love you like he loves me. You're not even my enemy, though you'd wonder about that. And so, if truth be known, we are filled with a room of violators. Jesus says, be perfect as I am perfect. And it's impossible without Christ. But you see, I have hope that I can have victory. And this is small. But Jesus says, you want to be like me? Then you'll get rid of hatred. Then you'll get rid of anger. And you will control that tongue to where you are not putting people down that I love, that I've created, and that I died for. It's a standard that is so good for us when we realize it. You see, we discount it. I'll be held more accountable for it. But I want you to understand this. It's not because I'm worried about anything, but it'll honor Christ. When I really think about what my life is to be about, my life, I just want to honor Christ. I want to lift him up. He has been so good to me. Can I honor him? Now, the beautiful thing is we didn't get to be there, but we'll be there this week. Verses 23 through 26 says, when you blow it, when you mess up, what do you do? And Jesus highlights that because he doesn't leave us hopeless. I want you to understand this. That's what I love about the scriptures. If you feel hopeless when you read the scriptures, just keep on reading. Because you might have just jumped in somewhere where you might misunderstand, but there's always hope. We saw that this past Wednesday in Jeremiah 18. The nation of Judah said, there is no hope, and they were wrong. And God said, have you ever heard anything such as this? God's saying, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. As long as I'm here and you're breathing, there is hope. Now, we must turn from our sin, and the only one that truly gives us hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to be encouraged. For those that are saved, you know what? The Lord says, let me tell you how to make it right. Because you know this, I'm going to be angry at some point in my week. I was going to say, in my life. Let's just... I hope I can make it a week. and not have an angry thought. And you know this? I've got 10 hours of driving ahead of me today. I've already had these pleasant thoughts telling me this. I've actually had a thought that says, I'm just going to go the speed limit. And but what will be the challenge for me is Elia needs me sooner rather than later. And no, I know. But you know, I what's that? Yes, she needs me in one piece. Is that what you were thinking? No, she needs me there faster. That's what I meant, Rachel. And so I want to do that because I will tell you, I'm challenged by this passage because you know this, the longer distance you drive, you know, 65 seems like 25. You know, then you say, I'm just going to go 9 over because they won't pull you over. 9 over becomes 19 over. See, you have to go to court if it's 20 over. And then you say, well, I'm pretty sure my tires aren't exactly measuring correctly. And so 23 over is the same as 19. This is what some friends of mine have told me. And just kidding, those are all my justifications. Years ago, sadly, I had to go to court. I haven't had a ticket since I was 19. I've been pulled over plenty. But I didn't have a ticket, but I had to go to court. And so I'd done all this research. I had had tachometers done on my speedometer and my wheels, and I had all laid out, so, you know, I thought. And he'd say, the judge looked at me and he said, Mr. Hall, I would tend to believe you. And this evidence that you presented might mean something if you hadn't had 4 tickets already on your license. And he said, guilty. And so no compassion. But what I love is this. I want you to know this. Every single person in this room, we've blown it. You can't change yesterday. Let's live for Christ today. I want to tell you this. Everybody's good with Jesus. But the way you'll know you've truly been born again is that he's your priority. He's your passion. There's no one else you want to please other than Jesus. Well, let's see about reconciliation here. First thought is, I just want you to know this. It's important. And so it's important. Look at verse 23. Jesus says this. It's important to properly worship God. Look at verse 23. After all this, after he talks about hatred of the heart, anger, and our tongue just lashing out against people, he says in verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest, and he might have rightly said, because I've just preached this, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, he says, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. He didn't say that worshiping the Lord isn't important. But he said, you want to truly honor me? And so what they would do is they would bring their sacrifice, they would bring their gifts to the altar, and they would offer those up to the Lord. And there were many such sacrifices that they would bring throughout the year. And that was to honor the Lord and to recognize their sin, recognize their need for the Lord, and to worship him. He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that we bow down for. But what the Lord says is this. Is there somebody that has aught against you? Do you understand that? That's what he says. He says, and you remember that thy brother hath aught against thee. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. It says this. And Samuel said, speaking to Saul, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Psalm chapter 51, when I get back, I'll be back this Saturday, but when I preach next Sunday, I'm pretty confident I'll finish Romans. We're going to enter into 25 of the Psalms, beginning at Psalm 51. We've done 1 through 50. But Psalm 51, I've already been doing some study on it, but just listen to Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17. This is David's broken and contrite and repentant psalm before the Lord. It says in verse 16, David speaking this, he says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Let me tell you what's easier. What's easier than going to someone that has aught against you is putting something in the offering box. You know what's easier than, because usually when somebody has aught against you, here's the reality in life, those you don't like you, and those that don't like you, you don't like, right? I've had to remind people of that, you know, when they act like they don't like me, I go, well, just so you know, it's mutual. And they're like, oh. I go, yeah, that's just the way life goes, but let's get it right. You know what's easier? It's easier to come to church, sit in a chair, go home, than to do the difficult thing. But I want to remind you, when Jesus saved us, it wasn't just to keep us out of hell. That's a great fringe benefit, but that really wasn't the purpose. The purpose he saved us was for his honor and his glory. The purpose that he saved us is so that we would lift up Jesus Christ. People aren't lifting up Jesus Christ today. I constantly ask people that I witness to, has anyone ever told you this before? And the common answer is no. I'll say, do you think you're surrounded by people that would call themselves Christians? And they'll say, yes. I say, I want you to know this. When you give your life to Jesus, don't be like them. A true believer in Jesus will be concerned about people. So Dakota, I love this. I found him. You know, you've heard me talk about this guy that I ran down the road. And so Dakota had a suggestion to try to find him. You know what? I was hoping you'd be wrong because, you know, this is kind of like now I'm accountable for it, right? So I'll take you down my path. And just to be honest, no, I haven't emailed him or anything yet. And so now I'm responsible for it. So you say, Steve, you should have done that before Sunday. That would have fit this passage perfectly. Thanks for that nod, Ron. And it's difficult, isn't it? This is the guy. It's probably been 15 years ago. I ran him down the road, and I think I properly diagnosed his IQ. But that has nothing to do with it, does it? I was wrong, and I sinned. He's the only guy that comes to my mind that I didn't make it right. I've done a lot of wrong. I've been mean, and I need to make it right. But I need to make it right with him, because you know, God cares about people. And I cannot control his response, can I? But I want you to know this. We're going to see reconciliation this morning. That reconciliation is sort of a two-part transaction. You must first do what is right. And they must receive it. But you see, I must do what's right. And here's why. It is, you know, just like in my car, if I said, idiot! Nobody knows that. You say, why does it matter? Because Jesus knows it. You know, with this guy that I just got to make it right. And I'm the only reason I make these things public is I'm not a great guy. I'm also telling you that I did find out on Thursday. You know, I'm just like, oh, I honestly didn't want to find him, Dakota. Thanks for your help in making me accountable. But boom, I know how to get a hold of you now. And I want to do it right. And I'm okay if... I'm going to do it for the honor of Christ, and I've just got to do it. And I don't know how he's going to respond. He's Hindu. I don't want to dishonor the Lord, but I'm going to tell him why this matters. I don't want him to think I'm just trying to get it off my conscience. I don't want him to think I'm just trying to. I want him to know this. I'm doing it because I dishonored Jesus Christ. More than me being mean-spirited to you, I'm doing it because my Savior says this will honor him. I would ask that you would receive it. It might seem super weird to you, so you can tell I'm already trying to figure out how to communicate to him. But the reason we need to do it is for the honor of Christ. And you know what I want is I want the Lord to receive my worship. And what the Lord says is, you know what, when you come to a church service, it's to honor the King. It's to declare worth to him. Fewer and fewer and fewer people go to church. But I will tell you, the Lord is honored when we assemble ourselves together. And he's the one that said, I'm honored when you assemble. And so I will tell you, that's why it matters. You want to properly worship the King? First, make it right with people. I want you to understand, he says, those that have aught against you. You may be like, I don't have aught against anybody. But does someone have aught against you? And it may go back to your life. And I just want you to understand this. Listen to Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes what you need to do is it may be the person sitting next to you. It may be your wife. It may be your husband. It may be your brother. It may be your sister. It may be your girlfriend. Right? And so here's what the Bible says. He says this in 1 Peter 3:7. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, get to know them, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Don't abuse that. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The Bible says this, sometimes it's not the brother that's way far away. Sometimes it's the brother that's right inside your house. Sometimes it's not the person way down the road. Sometimes it might be the person in your church. I just want you to know this. I hope we're a church. We need to be willing to be awkward. I want us to be willing to go, hey, Steve, I've perceived that there's something between us, and I wanted to come to you. And Steve may say, no, there's not, Steve. I don't know. We have so many Steves in here. I probably shouldn't use Steve. And Steve says to Steve, and then I talked to Steve, and he said, no, Steve said it was okay. But you know what? I want us to be okay. I don't want us to just, we ought to be that way. If you think someone has aught against you, go to them. And I think what you'll find out many times, it was our personal paranoia. Right? Oh, no, they didn't have aught. No, I didn't know I didn't shake your hand. No, I didn't know I haven't talked to you in 3 weeks. You know, time flies. But I will tell you this, I'll make sure I do. You're important to me. And then we can communicate and say, oh, would you please forgive me? There was no intent. And then that's an easy reconciliation, right? And sometimes Steve might go, oh, yeah, oh, wow. You know, and you know what? That's still good. And then what the Bible would teach us, and I want to teach you this. When I go to my brother, there's always a way. I need to do whatever it takes in the Lord to reconcile with that brother. And I'm going to give you the great example of reason why. Let's look at the second reason. It's important to properly worship God. It's important to properly represent God's love. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I want you to see this, and here's why. It is, we must make things right before we can truly worship the King. And this exactly represents what Jesus has done for us. Romans chapter 5, I want you to see this. I want you to be reminded about this. I want you to understand this. God came after you. You did not seek after God. The scripture's clear about that. And so we say we want to be like Jesus. What the Bible says, you want to be like me, then you go after people. You be the instrument of reconciliation. You be the one that takes that first step. That's what we're commanded to do, to be like Jesus. Look at Romans 5. I just think there's some, and we can just look at this passage. We could probably preach it for months. Verse 8 says this, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him, through Christ. For if, when we were enemies, now I want you to grasp this, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want you to understand that the word atonement, that's the only time in the New Testament that the word atonement shows up. The word used for reconcile there in verse 10 is a derivative of the same word that's translated atonement. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand, so this is, I'm not trying to preach heresy, but I want you to understand this. There is a two-part equation to reconciliation. Understand this. Because reconciliation and atonement can be synonymous in their meaning. I want you to understand this. This will help us understand how do we reconcile with others. Christ, do you understand this in verse 10? He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death. Well, I want to tell you, You're not going to heaven if you're the enemy of God. What it's talking about is what Christ did on the cross. He paid the ransom for you and for me that we can be made right. But I want you to look, and we'll talk about this a little bit. Look at verse 11. He says, by whom we have now received the atonement. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I want you to understand this. When we were reconciled, when we were his enemies by his death, the atonement was paid. The ransom was paid. The price was paid, but you must receive it by faith. Do you understand this? This is a beautiful picture when he says, go be reconciled to that brother that has aught against you. Here's what I love. True reconciliation must be provided and received. Okay? Make sure we understand that. But I will tell you this. Christ accomplished all on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. We must receive it. I want you to understand this. This encourages me. So when I deal with this gentleman now, and man, just seeing his picture, Dakota, just made me not like you. And because I love it. I mean, we talk about doing these things, but this is going to be really difficult for me. And I expect, and I think it would be rightly so, if he responded with vitriol, if he responded with just hatred, and I don't want him to run down Christ. That's my perspective. But I must do this. You understand, I'm not doing this because I'm worried about going to hell. I must do this because it's on my heart. I'm sure there's dozens of people that I probably should think about, but the Lord put this guy to my memory. And he said, what are you going to do about it? And I was relieved because it's been years. I have searched him for years, and then you came up with this thought, and sure enough, he still works there. I mean this. Thank you. I need to do what's right. But I want you to understand this. Here's what I can do. I can control what I do for him to make it right. And what I need to understand of Christ, Christ gave everything. I didn't have enough wisdom. watch me spiritualize my lack of doing this before I preached this morning. I didn't have enough wisdom, so I'll blame the Lord for not giving me enough wisdom, but I'm not. But I didn't have enough wisdom to write this, because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask him, you let me know what it takes to make this right with you. I don't know. He probably won't respond. But that I have to do that, because that has to be my spirit. You see, for us to be reconciled to God, Jesus, he had to give it all. He didn't hold back. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the righteousness of God. He did it all, and he gave it all. There was nothing left on the cross, and he wants me to be like him. And so if I want to be like Christ, I will offer reconciliation. I'll say, what is it going to take to make it right for you? The main reason, I want you to understand this, is I am not trying to be a good person. If you really dissected this, you should be very disappointed in me. You should actually rethink whether you want to be under my pastorate, and you should be concerned. One, it shouldn't be about 15 years, right? I could have probably found him, but I probably didn't want to. Until I get some whippersnapper that comes up with some idea. And then a whippersnapper, am I aging myself? Wow! Juan is the one that told me about that word this morning. Whippersnapper. I am not using that one ever again. I also won't use millennial, so just so you know, I'm trying to be kind. But whippersnapper. But I tell you, I'm excited because I want to do what's right. I want to honor the King. I want to take you to one more passage on reconciliation. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If there are two passages on reconciliation that I would want you to burn in your heart that you would know about them, it'd be Romans 5, 8 through 11. And then listen, this will be easy to remember. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. They're kind of close in my little mind. Romans 5, 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. You just add a 10 spot and you kind of get the same thing. These are, in my opinion, the two most beautiful wonderful passages on reconciliation. And when we talk about being reconciled to our brother, I think we must look at these passages. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this: "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to know this. I didn't tell you this, but just let me tell you that the word reconcile in Matthew chapter 5 is a little bit different. It means to renew friendship with. So, to be clear. But this in 2 Corinthians 5 and in Romans 5:8, reconciliation deals with an exchange. It deals with an exchange. So while Matthew 5 doesn't deal with this exchange, I'm going to tell you we have the ministry of reconciliation that we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But it's an exchange. You must give of yourself, and we will follow that example of Christ. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." You know what? We should just be thrilled. Oh, isn't that good? It is good to be reconciled to God, is it not? It's the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. To be made right with God through Christ by faith. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." And look at this. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I want you to understand this. Every believer in this room, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so let's keep reading. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I want you to understand this, that to be reconciled, truly, Christ did his part. By faith, we receive forgiveness and we receive his righteousness. I want you to understand this. Then we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is taking the gospel, this message of the gospel, what Jesus did on the cross, to the world. I'm not sure what Christianity has become in America, but I don't think Christianity in America has become that every single one of us. I ask you all the time, when's the last time you had a baby? I told you I asked a 7-year-old lady this. I wasn't expecting. She about fell down when I said that. She was a believer, and I said, "When's the last time you had a baby?" She didn't know how to take it. She looked at me like I was a weirdo, and I said, "I'm talking spiritually." And she got it. I said, "I want you to walk around and say, I have the ministry of reconciliation. I have this ministry that God has given to me, that I'm an ambassador for Christ. We are a representative for Christ. And what's my ministry? My ministry is reconciliation." "Hear ye, hear ye, all the world. Do you want to be made right with God? Come, I'll tell you." I love to ask people that. What does it take to be made right with God? And the answer I get 99 times out of 100, "Well, you know, I'm a good person." And I'll say, "Well, that doesn't quite match the Bible. Does that bother you?" And whatever the answer, we have this ministry of reconciliation. We can tell them of God. I usually do tell them of their sin. Because I was just having a Bible study in John chapter 14. Just quickly, let me take you to John chapter 14. Since we talked this ministry of reconciliation. John chapter 14, I want you to see this. This isn't in my notes, but it's a freebie. You pay for the things in my notes. You don't pay for anything. I'm just kidding. So John chapter 14, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, I want you to see this. It's talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that I believe what it's talking about here is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that then, since this time, exploded in Acts, is really the book that talks about the explosion of the gospel to the Gentiles. So all of us are non-Jews in here. And so the explosion of that. Now he talks about this ministry to, look at verse 8, we'll just talk about this. "And when he has come," verse 8, John 16, 8. This is talking about the Holy Spirit being sent specially to come alongside his churches. It's the word paraclete. He is going to be the comforter to come alongside. He says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." let me tell you, of sin because they believed not on me. I just wanted to take you there, part of our ministry of reconciliation. We let the Holy Spirit do this, but what has the Holy Spirit given us that helps highlight people's sin? The Bible, also called the law. And so I then say we can then kind of hone it down into the moral law, the Ten Commandments. All those are correct. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I want you to understand this. He said he's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. Do you know why people don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they don't understand their sin. The average person I talk to, they'll tell me that they're getting to heaven by being good. And then when I mention Jesus, they'll say, oh yeah, that too. You should come with me sometime. I promise you, there'll be pleasant conversations. And they'll say, oh yeah, that too. I'll say, you know what concerns me? Is that you never mentioned Jesus, you mentioned you. Jesus isn't an afterthought. He's not an attachment. He's the only way to heaven. Your righteousness has nothing to do with it. You see, I want you to understand this. We would highlight their sin by just walking them through the law. And their sin and their guilt will make them understand they can't do it. And then what we do is we need to understand, I want you to know why you've rejected Jesus, because you never thought you were bad enough. The average person thinks they're good. You see, we have this ministry of reconciliation. You can leave today. I always try to encourage you. Use what you've learned today. You're going to go out to eat today. Be crazy. You know, we went out to eat Friday night, and we asked the waitress if we could pray for her, and she asked, she said, can I stand here while you pray? That doesn't happen very often, but it was delightful. She got to just hear a prayer to the God of the universe. I want you to know this today. Why don't you, with your waitress or waiter today, you go out to eat, or someone you interact with, just go fill up your tank just so you can go inside and pay for it. Don't use the pump. That's anti-Christian. You know, paying at the pump, you know. Or make sure you wait for somebody else. Don't look like a weirdo and across the pump. Hey. You know, and so, you know, if men with men, women with women. So if it's a woman, I usually don't, because they'll be like, oh, this old man, he's hitting on me. No, so if it's a guy, I'll, just ask him this. They'll think this. They'll say, my preacher today, he wanted me to ask you this question. Blame it on me. Have you ever been reconciled with God? And they will look at you because they have no clue what you just asked. And that's a perfect setup. They go, do you even know what I asked? And then they'll say no. They'll say, isn't it a good thing that I'm here so I can explain to you that important teaching of the Bible about reconciliation? And they won't realize this. If you hadn't asked me, I wouldn't have needed to know. And you can tell them this, ignorance is never bliss. You need to know that you must be reconciled with God. Do you know why we must be reconciled with God? You can just, and some will cut you off, some won't. Because you know why nobody ever tells them? We've been given this ministry of reconciliation. And I want to tell you this, what we do is we lay in front of them, their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we leave it in the Lord's hands. I want you to understand this. The reason why reconciliation, the reason why we need to understand this, the reason why we need to make it right with others is so we begin to practice in our lives the ministry of reconciliation. First, it's to properly worship God. Then I want to tell you this, it's to properly represent God's love. And then finally, let's just look at this. It's for our benefit. Now let's look at verse 25 and 26, and I'm only going to be a few minutes. Who knows what a few is? Pastors have a different definition of that. But anyway, he says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. When we read this, we're like, what in the world is that about? And we blame the King James for lack of understanding. It has nothing to do with the King James. But what it is there was a Roman law. This was Roman law. It's really cool. Roman law was like this. Aaron, you've wronged me. And I come, and we're going to take you, and we're going to have the judge take care of this. In fact, when I come, I've got someone from the court system with me that'll help encourage you. With a little pointy thing called a sword, to come with me. Jesus is saying, while you're on the way, there's not a lot of time. There's a sense of urgency. Do you see that in verse 25? He says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. He says, while you're walking to go see the judge, make it right with him. You'll be way better off because when the judge rules, it's final. And you will pay the price of the judge. And so the concept's clear. There's multiple applications of this concept. Jesus is telling us there is no time to waste. Make it right. Let me just tell you this. Make it right with family. You don't know when you're going to die. Make it right with your coworkers. You don't know when you're going to die. Make it right with your neighbors. You don't know when you're going to die. It'll honor Christ. And while we're on the way of life, make it right. Don't put it off. Do your part, and it's okay if they chew you up and spit you out. Try to be gentle, kind, and loving. Do not react in anger if people don't receive your attempt at reconciliation. It'll honor Christ, but I will tell you this. I believe this. Every single person in this room, now I'm going to make this statement, and it's really not biblical, but I would say every single person in this room, there's somebody you need to make it right with. I just made that up. There's nobody in your life that you say, oh, well, you know, they're just difficult, so I just ignore them. Well, I mentioned this guy from work, but there's a whole bunch of other people, and when I'm speaking today, they're flashing through my mind. Got some nieces and nephews that I just need to be loving to. Just need to write them a note and say, I want you to know this, I love you. I'm thankful for you. Just keep it short and sweet. I think they think I hate them. Because I've got some nieces and nephews, they are pro-LGBT. I love homosexuals, just so you know that. They think I hate them. I've never said anything about them, but they have assimilated any negative comment they've heard, they've assimilated it to me. And you know what? They have awed against me. Even though I've never said anything, I promise you, I've said a whole bunch of things that'll get me in trouble with a bunch of people, but I've never made, you know, negative remarks. And I mean, every time I'm around them, right? I mean, they've got Love is Love t-shirts, and I just, it's all good. You know, let's go to Skyline. And they went through my mind this morning. And you know what it is? It's just, you know what they need to do? They need to know that Uncle Steve loves them. That's it. They've got ought against me. I'm not going to go into like a 5-page memo and say, let me show you what the Bible says. I'm just going to say this. Your uncle loves you. I pray for you. You're important to me. You're important to God. That'd be it. But you know how difficult that's going to be to write? Way more difficult. But what the Lord says, there's a sense of urgency. Because the Bible tells me I will not be judged for my sin. I'm a believer. My sins have been washed away. They're gone. But the Bible says there's going to be a judgment day at the judgment seat of Christ, and I will be judged and rewarded or not rewarded for what I have done. Where I haven't made it right, God will judge me in terms of rewards for that. You follow me? I'm not saying according to my sin, but it's important. Jesus is coming again, and I'm the one who'll benefit. You want me to help you understand this? I've dealt with bitterness in my life, and God miraculously gave me victory. It means I'm an expert at bitterness, so I can fall into it more quickly than the average bear. But you know who I was destroying when I held on to bitterness and I didn't reconcile and I didn't make it right and I didn't attempt to make it right? Who was I hurting? The one that I was bitter at? I was destroying myself from the inside out. You see, when Jesus gives us commands, it will help us physically. Do you want to know one of the greatest things that destroys people? It is stress, it is hatred, it is bitterness, it is anger that you bottle up inside. That's not Jesus' focus. He's after the spiritual. I want you to understand this. There is the overall viewpoint of reconciliation. Here's what God wants you to know as well. If you're lost today, He said this, be reconciled with the judge today. Because what the Bible says is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. If you die in your sins, if you die lost, I want you to understand this, there are no second chances. There is no reincarnation. There is no purgatory. There are no second chances. It's final, and you'll face the judge. And as he says here, you will pay the price for all of your sins. Not that God delights in that. I want you to understand this. His love is so much greater than his wrath. It's beyond description. But God is so holy and just that if we die in our sin, we leave him no choice. While he gets no pleasure in it, he will execute justice. I want you to understand this. The Bible message is this. Are there things that are not right with God? Do it now. I know. I found out this guy's name on Thursday. I'm taking notes. So some of you might get some notes from me this week, because I'm not sure how long you can stare at your granddaughter, and when she finds out that you don't have any milk, that she will be zero interested in you. So I'm going to take, so this is my letter writing week. So I love each of you. If you don't get a letter, don't view that. It just may mean that I'm a loser. And so I'm just going to start writing letters this week. I'm taking envelopes and stamps. I'm just going to sit at the table with Elia by my side. She'll be my motivation. And I'm just going to write some letters. Some of them aren't going to be, would you forgive me? Some of them are just going to be like, hey, I just wanted you to know, I love you. You're important to me. You're important to God. I want you to know this. I should be way better at writing letters. Every one of you should receive a letter from me to say, boy, I love you. I'm thankful for you, and you're a blessing to me. There's not one person in here that you are a thorn in my flesh. Zero. I mean that, period. And so you know why? You know what I'm going to love? I do not want to take a Vanity Fair vacation from the Lord. So I have to have a plan. You know, I know this. When you be like, how many letters did you send? Zero, but at least I had the intent. You know how that goes when you leave a church service. You're like, I'm going to do this. But I'm going to take it. And so you know why I say these things publicly? It's not to make me look good. I'm thinking I'm trying to do a pretty good job, but it's to be accountable. Ask me. You know, this could be a rough week. I don't know if I'm... I almost said the guy's name. But I should. I should... You all think... Now, just to be clear. Do you think I should at least send the communication to this man that I've talked about in the service? You think I should do it before next Sunday? How many say yes? Raise your hand. The more you guys raise your hands on that stuff, you'll never raise your hand on anything else. How many of you think there's an action step for you after this message? Raise your hand. Three. Look at you guys. Pastor's got an action step, but not us. I want to tell you, don't do it because you have to. Do it because you love Christ. And you know this? God will use you. It's just amazing. Let's make it right with people. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing. When we obey God, we benefit. This great ministry of reconciliation, I'm blown away that I have been made right with God, and it's all of God. It's all by his grace. Oh, Father, may I remember this so that I live it. I'm not preaching rules. I'm preaching delight. Let's do the hard things, because aren't you glad Jesus did? Let's pray. Father,